Blog Talk Radio.
We're having a little bit of technical difficulty here.
Hello, Ed. Hello, Ed. Hi,
no,
Ed.
Jim,
Ed.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Can you hear me?
Dr. Daphne.
Yes.
We got a horrible, horrible, horrible connection.
Mm.
A horrible connection.
Are you hearing me now?
It's not just you, but it's actually the station itself. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to close out of my show, and I'm just going to dial directly into your show.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I'll talk to you in just a couple of moments.
Okay, thank you. Okay, today...
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Today is the day when you get two for one, and I'm waiting on, I have a new co-host today. My co-host today will be Mr. Edward Farnsworth III, because our guest is Mr. James Nemley, and as you heard him just mention, that he is having a terrible connection, so he is going to be calling back in, and I'm also waiting on my co-host to call in. So we all know that technology has a mind of its own, and I think my co-host is now calling in. Mr. Farnsworth, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am wonderful, and our guest was on, and as you know, we broadcast simultaneously on Monday, and thank you for co-hosting with me today. However, he was having some technical feedback, so he's going to disconnect his show and then call us back. And
okay.
I think he will need to upload it on his, so we'll just need to work with what we have.
Not a problem.
Not a problem. Thank you. So how is the weather in your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, we got up to about 47 degrees today, and then it just seemed to fall to the bottom of the scale there. We're down probably now around 25 degrees,
yeah.
And it promises to have some snow. So we had a winter weather advisory the other day, and, you know, it's just continuously trying to go in and out of wintertime.
That's right. But you know something, at least we are blessed to be alive to compare the weather. There are many who is not around. And
absolutely.
So blessed and privileged. So what would you like to, you know, the people know you. You have been on the show so many times, but you can go ahead and, you know, whatever else you want to say to them, refresh them about who you are. And
okay.
Honored guest, call us back, please, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, I think all in all, I just really want to continue to share with people that being productive is really what gets measured. We've got to be a whole lot more productive in our individual and professional lives than we have. And I'm really focusing in now on this whole word called potential. You know, we just haven't reached it. And so I want people to begin to validate themselves more and more, know that they have all that they need, that they're powerful human beings, they're smart, they're knowledgeable, but they've got to do one thing, and that is find great balance between isolation and collaboration. And when they are able to do that, they're going to be a whole lot better off. There are times where you just need to turn off the radio, the TV, the BlackBerry, and just kind of meditate by yourselves. And, I mean, I'm not trying to encourage anybody to go into any particular religion or that thing, but I'm just saying that if we simply looked at what's going on around us and begin to take note of it and figure out what it is that we can do with our skill base, our knowledge, our contacts, we can be a whole lot more productive, and then make sure that you collaborate, you get out. There are hunches in other people's mind that you are not tapping into. And I think if you get it in your head, somebody else has it in theirs. The trick is trying to find that person who's got that other half of the hunch that can have that breakthrough happen for you.
Thank you. I know our honored guest is on the line, but before I bring him, I just want to piggyback on something you said. Today, I stopped down at my office, and there's someone else in the complex, and I had not seen him in a while, so I drove to his side of the building to greet him, because I hadn't seen him in maybe about 5 months or so. And I said, how is business? And he said, you know, it's going or something. I said, it's coming or going, whatever he said. So I said to him, at least, you know, we are entrepreneurs, so you got to keep it. No, he said it's going. So I said, it's coming too. You have to see it keep coming. And he said, yeah, as self-employed, we have the hardest job. And I said, I'm glad you point that out, because I said, you know what? We are not going to fire ourselves as long as we get creative and focus on what we're called to do. So that's powerful thing when you talk
about.
Yeah,
that is powerful.
Yep, balance is extremely important. And, you know, it's not about religion, but everybody has to connect to their spiritual health.
Absolutely.
If we stay apart from that, religion is getting you nowhere. But when you can just tap into your spiritual well-being, you have it going on. So let us welcome our honored guest, Mr. Nemley. How are you?
I'm doing fine now. Edward, how are you?
Oh, I am so well. Thank you for asking. I am just honored to be here, and I'm looking forward to hearing your nuggets of information and insight and how you will encourage and insightfully inform people. So I'm doing great.
Are you talking to me or Dr. Daphne?
I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you. I've heard enough about you. Now I want to hear from you.
That's right. So, you know, people have always been hearing from me from these many weeks since November leading up, Ed. So why don't you take control of the reins?
Take control of this?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. No, I'd love to. You know what? And all of us are very capable of being able to pass that, and that's the beauty of it all. There's no agenda. There's no queen bee. There's no, you know, king of the hill. We all know what this is all about, and so I appreciate that, Daphne. You know what, Jim? I've heard so much about you. I am excited to be here. I know the listeners really want to hear you on the other side of the microphone this time, and so yeah, not that they haven't gotten any rewards from you in the past, but this time we get a chance to kind of get you to give us some information. So I'm just kind of putting on my seatbelt right now because I know that the individuals that are listening are going through something. And Daphne and I were talking just before you came on. Talk to us a little bit. When I hear people say, oh, I'm going through some challenges, I tell them that's the operative word. You're going through it. You're not stuck in it. Talk to me a little bit about what people are experiencing today, Jim.
Well, a lot of the, you know, what's happening right now, it's not that people that are in business haven't gone through problems before. They absolutely have. What we're looking at right now is a totally unforgiving economy, all right? Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, you can stumble and bumble along, and by the way, you know, failed businesses is nothing new. Prior to this recession, prior to that, the SBA stats were that in a 2-year period of time, startup companies were failing at the rate of 75%. And if you trace those same companies over a 5-year period, 98% of them were going out of business. And they had business starts accounting up to 3,000 new businesses per day. Now, when you start doing the math on that, it is staggering. What I find very unfortunate, though, is while those stats are out there, and those are stats that are known, there are people that go in and out of business every day that people have never even known about. They never hit anybody's radar screen. Mm. These are known statistics based on people who started business accounts, who have incorporated, who've set up as DBAs, the whole nine yards. These are the known numbers, and that's staggering. Now, that's when we had a softer economy. Can you imagine how things are today?
Sure.
All right? Imagine how things are today. Back then, people were failing, but what they were doing is that they were putting their businesses on their credit accounts. If they owned homes, they were taking money out of their homes. They were borrowing from family. They were doing any number of things to keep their businesses running. Today, the whole issue with credit, personal credit, well, if you could take money off your credit card today, you're doing pretty good, because most people that were having trouble with credit cards prior to the economy crashing don't have those credit cards anymore, and they don't have a shot at getting them back. And by the way, I'm saying these things because these are the realities. I deal in reality. You know, people wonder what my methodologies are. They're exhaustive, and they're systematic, but I'm like that wax on, wax off kind of guy, all right? it's all about doing it by the book, because the book is always right when we talk about business. The book is always right. And the numbers of failed businesses prove that, because those folks never opened the book. Now, having said all of that, for those folks that are out there struggling right now, I want you to take heart. There is help. And I always tell business owners this whenever I speak. There's two types of business owners. There's the business owner that doesn't know what they don't know. And then there's the business owner that doesn't know that they don't know. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, the business owner that doesn't know what they don't know, they'll tune into a show like Dr. Daphne's. They'll come and they'll hear Edward, or they'll hear Dr. Daphne speak, and they're inquisitive. They're trying to find out what it is that they don't know. They know there are things they need to know, and they take the time to find it out. Mm-hmm. But now that business owner that doesn't know that they don't know, they're the ones who, you know, they're on the job 15, 20 years, and they look around and they get frustrated and they get tired, and they say to themselves, you know what, I'm sick and tired of making the man all this money. I'm going to start my own business. And what they do is they take their jobs and they launch their job as a business.
Wow.
That is powerful.
All right.
That is powerful.
They pluck the job out of a structured environment, and they launch it as a business. So here I am walking through Washington, D.C. Now, I don't live in Washington, D.C. I live here in Long Island, New York, but you know how Washington, D.C. is in the spring? We have those beautiful cherry blossom trees.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Those cherry blossom trees are the most fabulous. But you see, I can't plant a cherry blossom tree. So maybe I'll just take one of these limbs off, all right? Okay, now I got the limb, okay? Mm. And it's got all of those buds on it, and they're all blossomed. And I take that limb, and I plant that limb in my yard. Day one, I look at it, and it looks beautiful. Day two, it's beautiful. By day four, something's happening. You see, it doesn't look as pink and as white as it did from day one. Mm-hmm. By day six and seven, all the leaves have fallen off.
Mm-hmm.
And now all I have sitting in my lawn is a stick.
Wow.
That's what happens when these folks pluck their jobs out of their companies and launch their jobs as a business. They launch everything that caused that limb to flourish, and they have no clue as to where to get it back from. All right.
You know, that's a key point there, Jim. And then how do people begin to start that business, to start that? And because they're frustrated, they're confused, they feel stuck. Mm-hmm. What is it then that you would say to them as a business coach, as a professional, that what do they have to do in helping them recognize that they already have the skills to move to that next level?
Oh, what I would tell them is this: don't quit your day job. That's number one. Okay, that's number one. Start taking training to find out what must be done to launch your business. Now, I want you to note something, and I say this to folks all the time. Your business is not what you do. What you do is what you do. Your business is the structure that allows you to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you also call that their brand?
Well, they don't even know what a brand is.
Ah.
And I'm not trying to down anybody, but how can you know what a brand is if you have no concept of marketing?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
If you have no concept of marketing, you hear the term. You listen to somebody, so now all of a sudden, I got to develop a brand. Whoa, let's slow our roll a moment. Let me run that down just a little bit, okay? Now, people often ask me for marketing tips, and I'll ask them, do you have a marketing system? They'll say, well, I'm not sure what you mean by a marketing system. Well, I said, well, my marketing tip is to get a marketing system. Then you can start talking about marketing tips. Because a marketing tip cannot work outside of a marketing system. And you folks, I'm preaching to the choir right now because you're marketing professionals. But when folks take into consideration that here I am, I'm launching what I'm calling a business. I want to get what I do out there into the public. Well, what public? Well, I'm going to make up some flyers. I'm going to stick in. Well, what's going to go on that flyer? What are you going to say on that flyer? Well, I'm going to announce that I'm opening. Okay, and you're going to stick it in windshields. Where are you going to do that? Downtown. All these people always park throughout downtown. The parking lot is full. Okay, fine. All right. Well, number one, is that your marketplace downtown? Number two, do those cars belong in your marketplace, or are they transient? All right, you see, because if I'm in another town and somebody sticks a flyer in my windshield wiper, where do you think that flyer goes?
In the trash.
It goes in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, why would I care about what's going on there when I'm just passing through?
Yeah.
All right?
You know,
so that means that if I took the time to put the flyer together, I never took the time to find out who was my market.
Mm-hmm.
Who's my target market? All right? So I've never done any market research. Mm-hmm. I never found out the size of my marketplace. I never tried to find out what's trending in my marketplace. I don't know the economic condition of my marketplace. I don't, so that means I've never done any demographical study of my marketplace.
Hmm.
I've never done a competitive analysis to find out who else is marketing my products and service in that marketplace. I never tried to determine what share of the market I was going to go after and what type of approach I needed to take in order to gain those shares.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't know anything about marketing at all, except that I'm going to put together a fly and put it in somebody's windshield.
You know, I want to interject here to go back to what Ed asked about the brand. What I have observed in conversation with a lot of small business people and entrepreneurs, when they speak about brand without working with a consultant or a coach or a mentor, they think the brand stops at the coordination of their flyer, their brochure, and their business card.
That's just your look.
Yeah, and they think that if all those things look alike, that's their brand.
No, and they're totally
wrong. I've said to people, even when you walk through your door without any of those things, you are your
brand. Absolutely. Well, you know, let's discuss the brand for a moment, all right? And I'm going to start talking about the brand in a strange way. You remember I told you I'm that wax on, wax off kind of guy. When I engage people, the first thing that we start doing, right, and I know they want to jump into marketing, they want to jump into how I'm going to get some money in the door here. The first thing I want to work with them on is their vision, mission, and corporate culture. I need for them to tell me by vision where they see themselves personally. Because remember something, when I ask people, you know, why'd you get in the business? Oh, to make money. Well, you could stay on your job and make money. Well, I want to make a lot of money. Well, then who says you need to be in business? I mean, you don't get into business to make a lot of money. You do the right things, you'll make a lot of money. All right? But that means you have to do the right thing. If you're going into business to make a lot of money and you have no concept whatsoever of the fact that money is nothing more than a tool, money is not a goal.
That's right. That's right.
That's a significant lesson.
That's right. And what people need to understand is that once you have a vocation or a business that changes the lives and touches the lives of others, money's going to be chasing you instead of you chasing it.
Absolutely.
But people always tend to reverse it.
All right, but the first persons that has to touch is you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because if you're in business, if you tell me that I'm in business to make a better life for my family, now you struck the right chord. So when we look at vision is like when you're standing on top of a building and you're shouting out, this is what my business is going to be 5-10 years ago, to be my company, we want to be the McDonald's of business coaching. All right? So, wow. Well, now that's the business vision. My vision, my personal vision, apart from my partners, my personal vision is that within the next 5 years, I will no longer be here. I will be back in full-time ministry. So that means session planning and everything has to be in place so that there's a proper transfer of my business. And it's not the secret. I can say it on the radio because everybody knows this. All right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but the whole point that I'm getting at is this. When you look at developing a vision statement, that vision statement is your destination.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when you're putting together that vision statement, as a matter of fact, I'm doing I have a training that I'm doing tomorrow, an orientation for this business institute that I developed for this large entity out there, and they're looking at putting 1,000 people into that into that institute before the end of this year. But
wow.
And tomorrow we're going through the orientation, and the orientation is vision, mission, corporate culture. We start that before we even start talking about business planning. And the reason for that, again, your vision, when you're developing your vision statement, and it's a lot of work in doing that, you're developing that vision statement because that's going to be your company's destination. That's internal information. That's not something that you would put, you know, on the wall of your store. Your mission statement, you do that. So if your vision statement is your destination, now your mission statement is how you're going to go about doing it. All right?
Yeah.
So you've got the vision statement. That's your goal. Now, that's what I'm aspiring to do both personally and professionally. That's the goal. Now, the mission statement, how am I going to get there? By doing That's your mission statement. Your mission statement now becomes the vehicle that's going to take you to that destination.
Mm-hmm. And see, Jim, the key to that is just so big because you mm-hmm. hear about organizations doing it, and
mm-hmm.
individuals don't then see themselves as a operation that needs to focus that way. And the strange thing that happened was when I heard someone say similarly that, you know, if I'm going to be a brand when I walk in the door, how do I make sure that people understand what my purpose for even being here is? So when I go to a networking event, you all may be there to connect with a person of the opposite persuasive sex, or you may be there to do some other thing. This is a key to completing a portion of my mission statement,
that's
as you just pointed
right.
out, which I think is so powerful.
Everything is geared around. You see, when you're driving to a destination, you just don't, when you're at a stoplight, you don't open up the door and just walk away from your car.
That's right.
Right? You stay in that bad boy till you get to your destination.
That's right.
Right? Okay, so you've got your vision, which is your destination, where you want to go. You have your mission statement. That mission statement's the vehicle that's going to get you there. But mm-hmm. you see, it's not done yet. Okay, we're not done. People get confused about corporate culture. They think corporate culture only exists in Fortune 500 companies. Corporate culture or value statements can be down to an individual who is a solopreneur.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a corporate culture. Now it's your value statement.
That's
all right?
Okay.
And when
gentlemen,
you look at that, yes?
Let me just remind the listeners that they can call in at any time to ask a question of Mr. James Nemley, who is our honored guest. The number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Thank you. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, so if we know the destination, and knowing how to get there means you have to have a particular type of vehicle. Well, you see, if I had one of those brand new Lexus, you know, those big ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I put regular gasoline in that Lexus, it may drive me 10 miles, but then it will become a great big expensive ashtray.
Wow.
All right? Because it ain't going to roll no more. It's got the wrong kind of fuel in it.
There you go.
So here you are, you're developing, you've got this grand vision, you've got this wonderful vehicle. Now you have to have the right fuel to go into that vehicle. So
yeah.
When we look at fuel, mm-hmm. we look at, okay, who am I? Now, in my company, yes, I'm a minister, an ordained minister. So in my company, it's not like I have to have ordained ministers in my company, but everyone in my company has to have a high moral compass.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They have to reflect my morality.
Mm-hmm.
And adding to that, they have to have certain expertise. You know, in HR, there's an old saying that you hire someone for what they know, but you always fire them for who they are.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah, all right? That's powerful stuff.
You hire them for what they know. You fire them for who they are. When I work with my clientele, we actually, and when we sit down and we map this whole thing out on about who the perfect employee would be dealing in particular circumstances, and we put together a values test that we will use when they do interviewing, all right? And interviewing is extremely keen and absolutely important. And we don't let our eyes fool us or our ears fool us. We also do an extended disc, a temperament examination on that person.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know their insides.
You know, I tell you what, you are speaking to some attributes that I think people often skip. They think mm-hmm. that they got to go, as you pointed out earlier, straight to the business plan. And you've been talking about mm-hmm. vision statement and a mission statement and how you get there. And then providing mm-hmm. the leadership that people mm-hmm. need in order to be in charge of an entity, of an operation. And then lastly, so far, you know, a purposeful motion that you go to places with a purpose, you network with a purpose, you pick up the phone and talk to people with a purpose, that it is mm-hmm. those little, you know, areas that you have to tap and connect mm-hmm. with in terms of connecting the dots along mm-hmm. the way on this journey to getting to that inevitable piece that we are all talking about of entrepreneurship. You can't just say I'm an entrepreneur and jump out there is what I hear you saying.
No, hey, you absolutely are hearing me say that. You know, you've heard Daphne say it a zillion times. I say it all the time. I always separate out business owner and or entrepreneur. And the reason why I particularly do that is owning a business means that you either have the capital or whatever to own a particular business, all right? But owning a business no more makes you an entrepreneur than standing in the garage makes you a car, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen that way, all right?
You know,
that's nice. Very nice.
I want to ask a question because I listen to you, Jim, and I all I can say is that I am just so sorry we only have an hour because you coming up with some deep, deep stuff. But as you spoke about the Lexus operating on the cheap fuel and becoming an expensive ashtray,
uh-huh.
And I look on the platform for March the 23rd through the 26th, and I sat here and I said, thank you, Father, for assembling the high-grade fuel that will fuel entrepreneurs.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, that's right. See, if a person really wants to, and I'm not just saying this to hype the event. I'll tell folks out there right now, I've been at this a long time, all right? And my company stands by our slogan. You know what our slogan is? See, we're the better business builders. Nobody builds them better than the better business builders. Nobody.
That's fantastic. You know,
I stand by that.
You know, that is a fantastic theme and statement to have as a mantra. And it reminds me of having gotten into a conversation with a good friend of mine, and I think you would agree, or both of you would agree, that you've got to have a good support system around you of people who are going to encourage you. And I asked them the question, because I felt like I think a lot of people who might be listening felt, okay, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling confused, and I'm feeling stuck. I just don't know which way to turn that's going to yield me the best benefit. And the question that my friend asked me was, what does your business plan say? I said, my business plan for my operation? And they said, no. What does your personal business plan say? Your business plan for you.
Right.
So I don't know how many people are hearing what you're saying here, Jim, but it is some powerful information when you talk about leadership and personal leadership in
terms
of being able to decide to take your name and say, my business plan of, insert your name, Edward Foxworth in this case, or Jim, and then, you know, will be successful and we'll do this and do that and do this. And then part of what you've been sharing, Jim, take that and make a vision statement and a mission statement out of it. And therefore, anything that comes out of it business-wise sounds like it will be all aligned.
Absolutely.
Right.
But then
you
take that, replace corporate culture. Because remember I said that you could be a solopreneur and it's still important. Then you would go now to having a value statement. All right? Instead of being corporate culture, it would be value, your values. And what you would do is you would now map out who you will surround yourself with, just like you said, what you're going to who you're going to associate, who you're going to network with, the whole functionality of your business, what you need to learn, where you're going to go to learn it, how you're going to deport yourself with your clientele or your customers, the whole nine yards becomes structured right there. That morphs over time, because now as you're growing your business and you're adding pieces to your business, you're hiring people, well, your corporate culture has already been established, and you already have a blueprint for the people that you want to bring aboard in your company. You see, because that then becomes the fuel that goes into your mission statement, which is the vehicle that will take you to your destination.
I love the way you're pulling that all together. Wow.
That's right. Beautifully.
All right.
I'm taking notes here, Jim. I've got my pen and my pad out.
I'm telling you, man, I can't.
But now,
Jim,
yes.
Knowing all that you know from the position you are sitting now, because you are looking at the big picture,
right?
Would you still say that there is still hope for entrepreneurs to rise out of the valley?
Only if they plan. All right? Let me tell you something. We already know, and I know personally about the failures out there. We already know that, okay? So there is no, I hope things will get better. What gets better is you.
That's right.
If you don't get better, then it won't get better. Things just are not going to all of a sudden get better. This is the world. What are we talking about here?
That's
you
right.
have to catch up with the world.
All right. And that's why what Ed friends ask him is important.
And
because your personal plan, business plan, has to work in alliance with your business plan, or else nothing is happening. Because if your business plan going one way and you are still standing, something is wrong.
Well, I work with people. I am one of the certifications that I have is I am certified. I'm a certified business planner. I train people in plan and writing their business plan, all right? And all of those personal elements are involved. we don't dive into the business plan right off the bat. We work on the vision, mission, corporate culture. Now, if you can understand the fact that all of these things that and there are exercises that I put people through, all of these things that you're doing right there, all of a sudden now you can look clearly at how that now transposes itself in the construct of a business plan. Everything is laid out for you based on the work you've done, going through your visioning process, developing the mission statement, and then I'll give you, for instance, when we look at corporate culture, and you heard me make the HR statement before, because you know that's your company right there. I don't care how grand your vision is or how wonderful your mission statement is. If your corporate culture is jammed up, it's jammed up. All right, it's jammed up, plain and simple. So people might tell you, oh, yeah, you know, I know how to do a market study, and I've done a competitive analysis. I look at how they price, yada, yada, yada. You know, a lot of folks, when they do competitive analysis, they stop short on one major, major, major thing. They know the pricing that their competition uses. They know the marketplace that they're going into. They know all of that stuff. They know what's good and bad about the company. The one thing they don't know is their personnel. If that's a company that you want to model your company after, then let's take a look at the personnel, the people who are doing the business. How much are you paying them an hour? What is their educational background? What type of experience must they have when you hire them? Do you offer them benefits? And on and on and on and on. You see, I might have this lofty vision. I might have this incredible mission. What I do might be off the charts. But if I'm trying to hire people on the cheap, if I'm taking people and I'm hiring them and I'm working them off the books, if I'm getting undocumented aliens, and I'm sorry, I have to say this, I had this guy one time call me from Atlanta. He had heard about me, and he wanted me to work with him. You know, he was purchasing this pizzeria, all right? So he's telling me that, you know, it's got 25 employees and that they're printing money out of this pizzeria. And so I said to him, I asked him, has your attorney done his due diligence on the company? Oh, no, my attorney hasn't looked at it yet. Well, you don't know whether or not there are any liens on the company or anything. Well, I'll deal with that. Well, I said, well, what does your CPA have to say about this? Yeah, you know, do you have the last 3 years of tax returns? And being that we're three-quarters of the way through, you need at least an interim statement that he needs to take a look at to find out about the cash construct of the business. Oh, no, let me tell you something. I've sat in this place for the past few weeks, and I'm telling you, people are in and out. I mean, they've got so much business. It's unbelievable. He's got 25 guys running around making deliveries. I said, really? Uh-huh. Now, how much is he selling the company for? Well, he wants to sell for $350,000. He wanted me to help him get some financing because I also do that. And I said, okay, let's hold on a moment. Hold on one moment. You're telling me that you've not seen any tax returns. You've not seen an interim statement. You haven't even seen the balance sheet or a P&L. You've seen nothing financial. Your attorney is not even aware of what you're doing, so there's been no lien searches or anything else like that. You had nobody even tell you, well, rather than buy the company, buy the assets, and being that it's been out there a while, buy the assets of the company, retain the name, but do it as a DBA. I said, nobody's even talked to you about any of this, but you want me to help you get some money to buy this. I said, tell me something. Those 25 employees, are they on the books? Oh, man, no. They're illegal aliens. Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not even going to go on with the story. All right.
Yeah,
wow. You see where that was going.
Jim, what I think you were getting in, however, is, you know, to some degree, that whole word called value. And if you could talk to us a little bit of how as entrepreneurs, we create value, for our clients.
The value that we create, well, first and foremost, and you folks, you two, you don't have to, neither the two of you would ever get struck by this, but value starts within us as the business owners. It was the funniest thing today. I'm busy, and I'm checking my emails. I've got like 5 email accounts. They're all on my phone. And, you know, depending on which one is coming through, then I know I need to look at it. And I see this one coming up under my Better Biz Builders email thing, and I click it open, and I look, and it's from the Better Business Bureau. And it's telling me that I have a complaint. And it has a link for me to click into, so I can view and dispute the complaint. And then I move down further, and I'm looking, and I see the Better Business Bureau's logo, and I see their main headquarters, and I see the office number. I said, hold the fort. I immediately dialed. I didn't go into the link. I immediately dialed and got a message that there's a surge of people out there fishing to get in and to get into your and put a virus into your computer systems. Don't open up the link. Now, see, I recognized the Better Business Bureau's phone number because it's not hard to understand. My company's called the Better Business Builders, how many calls that I've gotten, and I thought it was a wise thing to get their phone number so I can give it to people whenever they called me. But my point is this. My value system in my company is so high that there couldn't possibly be a Better Business Bureau complaint made against me. I automatically knew there was something wrong with this thing. And when I got the recording, then I said, aha, okay, somebody's trying to get into, there's a rash of hackers in there, and they're using this as a ploy to get business owners to open up the link and get into your system. Now, you're asking me about those values to my customers. Before I engage a client, when they want to know more about me, I'm not a person that wants to talk about me, so I'll tell you to Google me. And the reason why I do that is you cannot hide in today's day and age.
That's right.
You cannot hide. If there's anything against you, it will be written. And I tell them that. The reason I do that is because the work that I do, you have to trust me implicitly. I cannot bring you the services you need, and I can't take you to where you need to go unless you trust me implicitly and you trust everybody that has anything to do with the Better Business Builders. You must trust us. I cannot have people working for me who are not trustworthy, because when you're out there, all you have is your word. That's all you have. When your customers or your clientele, and I'm saying this now to business owners, you have to have high values and standards. When somebody is paying people off the books and they hire me, the first thing I need to do is have a close look at their financials. Then I need to work along with their CPA so that we can do what we call rehabbing a company. In other words, over this period of time, every single person in your company must be on the
books.
Can I interrupt you guys? This is so good. We only have 10 minutes remaining, so I want to give Ed an opportunity to summarize after you finish this point. I want you to, you know, give Jim a summarizing question as soon as he finished this thought. We could go for 6 hours. This is so
I know
good.
That. Don't get me started. I didn't even scratch the surface. Anyway, just finish that off. I've had people that you know, if you give them cash, they won't charge you the sales tax. I say this is nonsense. This is your company. You have to value your company, and the only way you can value your company is if you yourself have values. And it's the same thing to the folks out there. Work above board, and you don't have to worry about looking over your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You have to do business the right way. And when you do, like I said, the money's going to come to you, but you
That's
have
right.
to do it right. And you cannot be wheeling and dealing and expect your employees to be straight-laced.
That's
it
right.
doesn't work that way. They
That's
follow
right.
your example. Now,
yep.
all you have to do is undercut one of your clients. All you have to do is have either you or one of your employees do something shifty with a client. And I'm going to tell you right now, I do studies on customer service. One bad experience to one customer within a period of 48 hours has been spread to 7 different people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that number grows exponentially over a period of 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can virtually have several hundred people who that original person who had the bad experience never even met. Now the word has gotten out all over the place how rotten you are.
Wow.
That's what will happen to your business if you're not
running
it. Can
you afford that
board.
As a business from the financial
you cannot,
standpoint?
You cannot afford it. You
okay.
cannot afford it. So, I, you
okay.
know, one of the things we were talking about, and I'm just going to just cut it right at this one point. People, you want to be able to do something good for your business, begin to plan. All right? Begin to plan. I love this old saying, you know, planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now.
Right.
That's what
wow.
planning is. Taking the future, bringing it into the present so you can do something about it now. You can't
Beautiful.
Do it down the road. All
right?
Right. We wait until
Action.
We turn the bend and run into a tree. Find out that tree is there and map out another direction to go into. But you
Action.
Need to begin
Action.
To plan.
Wonderful. We have
Powerful
6
stuff.
Minutes. I want to give Ed an opportunity to do his closing thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And then I want Jim to do his closing thoughts. And then we will close this dialogue off with our theme song for the conference. Woo, this is real good, Jim.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, I the whole idea of this personal business statement, looking at a personal business plan, or looking at your vision statement, your mission statement, that personal leadership that you've got to provide, and then of course making sure that you have high moral standards where you're not doing things that are unethical, and certainly above all, provide value to
mm-hmm.
your client base. And if you carry yourself in that way, you certainly can expect for your employee base and your frontline people to do the very same thing. Because as you pointed out, if you want to lose customers, do things unethical and don't provide value. If you want to gain customers, do just the opposite. I simply wanted to end with what is going to be the title of my next speech, quite honestly, and it's called Potential. And what it does is, and I encourage everyone to look that up, but real basically, it's really what Jim just said. Existing
right.
impossibilities capable of developing into actuality.
Mm-hmm.
So in existing impossibilities, right now you have existing impossibilities that are capable of developing into actuality, knowing that action has no season. So that would be my end of what I heard from Jim tonight. He's saying go out there, but make sure you do it right and have a plan for how you're going to execute.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure, Jim. I've enjoyed myself.
With you again.
Well, this has been a blast, guys.
Yeah. I really hope I get this opportunity to co-host with you again sometime, someplace,
yeah.
Somewhere. This was amazing. This was amazing. I can't wait for March the 23rd.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Jim, with your closing thoughts. We have 4 minutes remaining, please.
Well, first and foremost, I know we haven't done this a lot. March 23rd through the 26th. Folks, you have to be at the Broadway Millennium Hotel for the Vision Weekend 2012 conference. You have to be there. 18 speakers. You're going to have 18 hours over those days in which to be filled with the knowledge and the content that you need to go to the next level. Guaranteed. All right. I know that I'm one of the speakers there, but I love the. If you haven't figured it out by now, I love to run off at the mouth. But what I love even more is learning. And for 17 of those 18 hours, I plan on sitting down and taking copious notes and videoing stuff because even though I've been at this for 25 years, I learn every day. And if you want to grow as a business owner and an entrepreneur, learn every day. Learn and apply. All right? So that's March 23rd through the 26th. Now, going
Wonderful.
Back to what I was saying before, make certain that you're putting together your vision, mission, corporate, or your personal value statement. Then write that business plan. And if you truly, truly, truly want to grow your business, don't wait for the economy to come back to you because it's not going. As a matter of fact, the economy was never near you in the first place. Yeah, I had one guy come in telling me, wow, you know, this is about 2 years ago when it was really right in the midst of it. He said, wow, he says, man, this economy is killing me. I said, really? He said, yeah, I mean, my business is suffering horribly. I said, really? I said, were you making it? I said, how long have you been in business? He said, last 10 years. I said, when was the last time you made a profit? I made a profit about 5-6 years ago. I said, so how is this economy hurting you?
Yeah.
All right, you just have something to hang an excuse on.
Yeah,
all right?
Everybody,
and a lot of folks are using the economy to hang the excuse on. If you weren't doing good before the recession, then don't blame the economy. All right, blame yourself. But after saying that, and by the way, I'm a coach, so yeah, I'm hard on people. I don't sugarcoat anybody. All right, my folks will tell you that working with me is an acquired taste. Okay, acquired taste because I don't soft soap. I mean, people mamby-pamby folks all the time. They'll mamby-pamby you right into bankruptcy. All right?
Right.
I work with you to get you on your feet. But anyway, folks, plan,
all right.
Plan, and then execute.
All right.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jim. Thank you, Ed. And next week, we will have the infamous Mr. Willie Crawford. And then we'll be back co-hosting with my partner, Jim, Ed Foxworth III. Thank you so, so much for controlling
yes,
the thank
ring. You, Ed.
It was
absolutely
such an honor.
You're welcome. Sure. Anytime.
Okay.
I can't wait to get to New York.
All right.
If this is any indication, and this is just, again, 1 hour, and we've got a whole weekend filled with fantastic people like Jim, I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to it. I will have my pen and pad, and I hope that people go to the website and decide today that they're going to come and participate by registering to be at this conference.
Amen.
That's right.